Welcome to the Power for Life. This broadcast brings to you a message of life-changing revival in the Holy Spirit. We pray that today's program will help to spur you on to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now here with today's message is Tom Hill.
For our study today, I want us to examine a very crucial doctrine of the Bible. It's called the authority and divine inspiration of the Scriptures. This particular doctrine is under great attack today. There are many people who simply regard the Bible as another religious book. They don't view it as having any inherent divine origin to it whatsoever. It has no greater authority than any other religious book might have. Well, it's a very critical doctrine for us to know and to believe if we are to understand and to know ourselves, as well as knowing and understanding God. And it all hinges on this critical doctrine called the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. And the Bible itself contains numerous evidences and proofs to its divine origin. And today I want us to examine one of those passages taken from the Old Testament, in which it talks about the Word of God, the fact that it has divine origin, the fact that it is effectual and that it works. And I want us to study that today for our Bible study. Our reference is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. And here's what we read. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I have deliberately chosen this passage for a couple of reasons. If we were to read back in the earlier parts of Isaiah 55, we would find that God is talking to people who are seeking after Him. And there are people today who are seeking after God. Perhaps that's true of you today. You've heard about God. You have some vague understanding and knowledge about God. And you are seeking after Him. Well, this particular reference that I just read was given to those people who are seeking after God, who want to know Him and want to experience Him in their lives. And God gives to them and to us, those of us who seek after Him, direction that we might understand Him and know Him. And it has to do with this book, the Bible. The fact that it is not just another religious book, but it's one that is divine in its origin and therefore can be effectual in our lives, in our understanding and knowing God and knowing Him personally in our life's experience. And so I want to study this passage. It's fitting for our circumstances. And I want us to see the truths that are here concerning the divine authority of God's Word. And I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and will use them to open up your mind to understand them, to see them, to know them, and that you might apply them in your life today. Find them effectual as they are promised in our reference that we read earlier. And I pray that God will use them to transform your life, that it might be different from this day forward, that you might begin to experience in your life the truths that this Scripture say can be your experience by faith in God today. The first thing I want you to notice about the divine authority of God's Word and the fact that it is not just another religious book is the fact that these verses show to us the divine origin of His Word. Notice that it says in verse number 11, God is speaking, and He said, so shall my word be that proceedeth forth out of my mouth. God very clearly identifies Himself as the author of His Word. It isn't come by some human design and some massive religious plot to try and trick and fool people. No, it's come from God Himself. God speaks very clearly here, and He says, "The word that you have, it is My word, and it has come from My mouth. I have spoken it. It is divine in its origin. It didn't come from some human person who designed it and dreamt it all up. No, it's from Me," He says. "It's God's word. I have spoken it. Therefore, since it comes from the very mouth of God Himself, it is divine in its origin. And because it is divine in its origin, that then places these scriptures on an entirely different plane. It gives us a totally different viewpoint of them. For you see, that takes it out of the words of mere man and elevates it to the position of God's revelation to us from His own mouth. By the fact that they are divine in their origin, they then become authoritative for life and practice. So that these scriptures are not just another religious book. They are from the very mouth of God Himself. They are divine in their origin. Now I want you to notice the second thing that we find in our scriptures here that talk to us about the authority of God's word is the fact that it is effectual. They're powerful. They work. They aren't just good ideas. They aren't just things that are good thoughts to think and maybe they will have some impact upon my life and maybe they won't. No, we find that God's word is effectual. It works. It does what it says it will do. Notice how it is stated in the reference here, verse number 11. It says, first on the negative side, it says, "It shall not return unto Me void." And He's making reference back to verse number 10, which I read, where it talks about the rain and how the rain and the snow come down from heaven and it doesn't return back without it producing something. Rain and snow provide moisture for the crops and for the ground. And it brings forth fruit, it says. It causes things to come to life. And it causes the flowers to bud and for the foods that we plant like wheat and corn and other crops, it causes them to live. And it creates a cycle of life so that rain and snow is productive. It produces, it says, food for the sower and seed for the sower both. And then God goes on to say, that's what My word is like. My word is powerful just like the rain and the snow. It's effectual. It will not return to Me void. In other words, God is saying, I will not speak forth My word and make promises and make all kinds of empty statements. They will work. It will not return unto Me void. It will not come back to Me without producing the effect that I designed it to have. So first He states it in the negative. It will not return void. And then He goes on to state it in two positive statements in addition to the negative one. Notice what He says. He says, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall come to fruition what I speak. And then the other positive statement, He says it in this fashion. He says, it shall prosper. It will be abundant. It'll come to conclusion what I say it will do. So we find that not only is this word divine in its origin, but it's also divine in its effect. It works. That cannot be said of the words of mere man. I can make all kinds of promises, and I may make them with very honest intent, but I cannot always make them work. I cannot always cause them to do what I say they will do. But that's not true of God's word. God's word, because of its divine origin, has divine results. It is effectual. It works. It produces and accomplishes that which God says it will produce and accomplish. We find that God's word is not only effectual in its power because of its divine origin, but we also find that God's Word is eternal. His Word came from eternity past and will exist for eternity into the future. We find that the Scriptures confirm that truth for us. Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, the first Gospel, Matthew chapter 24, talks about this particular truth. Verse number 35, it says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." It's temporal. It had a beginning. It has an end. Heaven and earth will pass away. There is coming a day when the earth will vanish. It will be no more. But my words shall not pass away. The word that God has spoken, because it is divine in its origin, is effectual. It's also eternal. It's a lasting word. It is eternal in its nature. It will last for all time into the future. That's not true of me. That's not true of you. That's not true of the words that you speak, nor is it true of the words that I speak. But it's true of God's Word, because it is divine in its origin. It is authoritative. It is effectual. It's eternal. We also find that God's Word, in addition to being effectual and eternal, we also find that God's Word is emphatic. There is a power behind it. It isn't just something that is given as a whim. It isn't just something that is given off the top of someone's head. It isn't just an empty promise. It is something that is stated emphatically. We find in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 46, where God is talking about His Word and the statements and the things that He has pronounced to be true. And here's what He says in Isaiah 46, starting in verse number 9. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." Now verse number 10 is the one I want you to notice. "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." It's an emphatic word. God declares and states without any hesitation or question whatsoever. He says, "That which I say shall come into being. That which I have said shall be accomplished." So we find in our passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, making reference to His Word, "It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish, it shall prosper." It's an effectual word. It's an eternal word. The Scriptures say that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And God states it very emphatically. He says, "That which I declare, it shall happen." So there's two things that our Scripture references here give to us about God's Word. It's divine in its origin. That elevates it from a mere religious book into one having divine authority then. Secondly, we see that that Word has divine impact upon our lives. It is effectual. It works. It accomplishes that which He pleases. And it prospers in the thing He sends it. Now I want you to notice a third thing that is stated here, that there is a purpose behind His sending the Word. Notice it says it in two different positive statements. He says it in this fashion. He says, "It shall accomplish that which I please." And then He follows it up with another statement, "It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." So that both of these statements give to us the thought that behind it all, there is a purpose and a design. God has spoken His Word. He has given His Word with a specific purpose and intent in mind. For He says, "It'll accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I have sent it. Well, what is the purpose behind God's Word? What is His design? What is His thought in giving to us His Word? What is His aim? Well, to summarize it in two things. First of all, His divine purpose and intent in giving to us this revelation is to reveal to us Himself. The Bible is, in very primary purpose, a revelation of God, where God has designed and purposed for us to know about Him, and to know Him in the only way that we can know about Him in fullest detail is through His Word. So that God has sent to us His Scriptures, His Word, the Bible, with an important purpose in mind. One of those is that we might know Him. For the Scriptures give to us a revelation of God. What does it reveal to us about God? Well, first of all, it reveals to us aspects and characteristics about His nature. We call them attributes. His attributes about Himself. The Scriptures reveal to us that God is a God of omnipotence. He has all power. He's a God of omniscience. He knows all things. He's a God of wisdom. It isn't just enough to know all things, but it's also knowing how to apply what you know. God is a God of wisdom. The Scriptures tell us that God is a God of love. He's a God of grace, a God of mercy. The Scriptures also tell us that God is a God of justice. He rules righteously and justly. Scriptures also reveal to us that God is a God of judgment, that He judges those who commit sin and violate His law. He also is a God who blesses those who obey and worship Him. So the Scriptures give to us an abundant references, a revelation of God Himself, His character and His nature. The Scriptures also reveal to us about God and His intervention in His creation. For the Scriptures tell us and describe for us that God has a plan and a design behind His creation. He isn't like a watchmaker. You know, a watchmaker creates a beautiful design and puts together a watch and sets it to running and lets it work, and then he's all done. The watch is kind of on its own. That's not true of God. God is not like a watchmaker. Oh, He created all things. He made the animals that we see, the air that we breathe. He gave to us life. But He has a purpose and a design behind His creation. And God is at work in His creation to accomplish His purpose in each individual life. God has a design and a purpose in your life. He has a design and a purpose in my life. He has that purpose for all of His creation. And He intervenes sovereignly. Because He is the Lord of heaven, and because He is the Creator, He intervenes in His creation, and He acts and reveals Himself and moves us to accomplish His sovereign purpose in life. So that's what the Scriptures tell us about God, His character and His nature, His purpose in His creation. Now, in addition to that, the Scriptures also describe for us man. Mankind, our condition before God, the fact that we are sinful creatures, the fact that our hearts are desperately wicked and sinful, the fact that the very best things that we can do in God's eyes are a filthy rag. The Scriptures describe for us further our condition as being helpless before Him. We can make no changes in ourselves. There's nothing I can do about pulling myself up by my bootstraps, so to speak. I am utterly helpless before God. So the Scriptures describe and define my condition before God, a holy, just God. My condition is one of sinfulness. My condition is one of helplessness before Him. The Scriptures also describe in my responsibility toward God how He has designed and desires for me to worship Him and obey Him. Well, if I am helpless before God, how can I then worship and obey Him? God has made provision for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. He has made provision for people like you and for me, who are helpless in and of ourselves to accomplish that which God has purposed for us and designed for us, which is to worship and to obey Him. He has made it possible for us through Jesus Christ. And by faith in Jesus Christ and trusting Him and His death on the cross as having died for my sin, and you having trusted in Christ as dying for your sin, we find that we once again have that relationship restored back with God the Father. We now have within us the spiritual ability to obey and to worship God. God provides it for us through Jesus Christ. Well, these are some of the truths that are revealed to us in the Scriptures that are under this statement where it says, "They'll accomplish that which I please. They'll prosper in the thing which I have sent it to accomplish." They reveal to us God Himself, His nature, His design and purpose for His creation, that we might worship and obey Him. They also give to us very clear description of our condition before God, our sinfulness, our helplessness, our need of a Savior, our need of someone to intervene on our behalf, to take our place, to make it possible for us to obey and to worship God as He designed. That one is Jesus. And by trusting Him, we find new life. We find within us then that spiritual ability that God Himself provides for us, that His word might be accomplished in our lives, that we might obey Him, that we might worship Him as He designed and as He purposed. So the Scriptures are divine in their origin. They are divine in their effect. They work. They are divine in their purpose. Their function in our lives are to draw us back to God, that we might know Him, that we might worship Him, that we might obey Him. And how do we come to those statements? How do we come to that position where we might believe Jesus? How do we come to where we might know and understand God? It's by the very Word of God itself, where we read in Romans chapter 10 how God's Word itself brings us to faith. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So how do I understand and know God? By reading His Word. How do I find God's Word as effectual and productive in my life? By reading and studying and understanding God's Word. How do I come to faith in God that I might worship Him and obey Him? By God's Word. He has promised that He not only sent it Himself, it came from His mouth, the Scriptures say, but it is effectual in our lives. And my friend, today, if you will begin to read and study God's Word, the promise is there that He will open our eyes to see and to understand, that we might know Him, that we might worship Him. For the Scriptures say, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, that you might know Him and understand Him, that you might worship Him and obey Him. Well, where has the Spirit of God today spoken to you? Where has He revealed in your life your failure to view God's Word correctly? Have you perhaps viewed His Word as simply another religious book? Have you failed to understand that this Word is divine in its inspiration and origin? It comes from the mouth of God Himself. Perhaps you might have had a view of the Bible that it was special, but you never really believed that it would work. Could that be true in your life today, that you've questioned and doubted the effectual work of God's Word? Could it be possible that today you never had an understanding of your true condition before God, and that you needed to understand God's Word to lead you to faith in His provision, Jesus Christ? Well, I pray that the Spirit of God will open your eyes today to see the truth and understand the truth about God's Word. I pray that He will apply it in your life and open your eyes to see your true condition before God, that you might come to faith in His provision for sinners like you, Jesus Christ, His Son, and that by faith in His Son you might find this Word not only divine in its origin, but divine in its effect in your life, that you might come to faith in Christ. And by coming to faith in Christ, you might have life anew, that you might be transformed and changed from this day forward, that you would find in your life a new spiritual energy and power that enables you to experience the truth and reality of God's Word on a daily basis.